Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hey, welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. We are doing another live coaching session, and I can't wait to introduce our guest to you today. But first, I should tell you again who I am. My name is Alyssa Dare Nelson, and I am so thrilled that you turned us on and are spending a little bit of time with us. Now, without further ado, oh my goodness, our guest today is seriously freaking awesome. And what an amazing history and set of education and experiences and values and just a really rich, rich story. And I can't wait to introduce her to you. Our guest is CJ Grace. Now, CJ was a BBC journalist in Britain and then worked for China Radio International in Beijing. She's the author of The Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive, Whether You Stay or Not. She's completing hotel chemo, learning to laugh through breast cancer and infidelity. So when CJ discovered her husband's infidelity and got breast cancer, she refused to be a victim. This is what I love so much about CJ's story. And I talk about this on the podcast all the time, you guys, that all of your life experiences, both the good and the bad, can be used for good. So listen to this. She refused to be a victim and kept her wicked sense of humor. After receiving Adulterer's Wife, Arianna Huffington invited CJ to write for HuffPost. CJ has an infidelity advice column on her website. Her mantra is, "The best revenge is to get past the need for it," which is amazing. Now, that's not where CJ's story ends for sure, but let's invite CJ on. I have been talking for way too long, CJ. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. How are you today?
I'm frickin' awesome. Thank you so much for having me on your show and also for your generosity in sharing all your expertise on the ultimate strengths test. Absolutely. Material, which I had never heard of before. I have to plead ignorance, and I'm pretty amazed at what you found out from that test that I did.
It's amazing when you understand your innate strengths, but not only that, you understand now what to do with them. It's not only, you know, gives you a place for self-compassion and grace, but it's so empowering to realize, oh, the things that I do naturally are actually gifts, which means that other people don't necessarily have those gifts. And I have a responsibility to contribute those gifts to the world. So I'm glad that you have found it. I'm glad that I was able to expose you to it. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about some of the things that you have going on. You were not just a victim of adultery, although that is part of your story. You did not have control over that, but you chose to say, you know, I mean, this line, the best revenge is to get past the need for it. I have some people, some Facebook friends, etc., who just can't seem to get past that point. And it's painful to watch, you know, some of their posts and things like that, because, you know, they're unfortunately keeping themselves shackled. Right?
Right. You get stuck in the churning of all those negative emotions. Mm-hmm. And the way I saw it was that I was given a kick in the pants to decide how I wanted to live the rest of my life. And when you have a cancer diagnosis, it was my second, actually, because I have one of those nasty little BRCA genes as well. Then you realize, well, life is short. How do I want to live the rest of it? What do I want to do that makes me feel fulfilled? Do I really want to be just thinking about how I was treated and how, you know, my husband shouldn't have had another girlfriend and all of this kind of stuff? It made me think, well, actually, I'm grateful that he did that, because it made me realize that we weren't that compatible. And I'm really so much happier on my own. I was in some ways squashed by what I was doing with him. I was more helping him with his particular work. and not really attending to my needs and not growing as a independent person with my own skills and my own identity. Now I'm a published author. I also have another book almost done on subjects that I never would have dreamed that I'd be writing about, adultery and cancer, breast cancer. And I've put my Python-esque sense of humor into all of it because I was brought up with Monty Python, and I think that that is one of the greatest forms of humor in the world. I'm biased. So everything I do has a black sense of humor to it. Because if you can't laugh, you're going to cry. That's my view.
Yeah.
And I was actually, to be honest, your show has been a catalyst for me. Having invited me to be on your show, I had to write out, well, what are my challenges?
Yes.
And I thought, well, what are my challenges? And how am I going to do something that actually makes a little bit of money with what I do? Because you can't make tons of money with books these days. And I came up with something that I'd been doing a lot of in my earlier career, and that's using my voice, broadcasting. And in the space of you inviting me to be on your show and recording today, I decided to set up a second website. I came up with the name rentabrit.com.
So
and
good.
I've got Rent-A-Brit voiceovers. I was going to do a podcast as well, so I'm combining those together. And I've already done some work for the podcast. Initially, I was going to call my podcast Radio CJ, but now I'm thinking, well, maybe I should call it Rent-A-Brit Radio. So it ties in very nicely with the voiceover work.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of fun putting that together. Just in the space of a few days, I've put together a new website. And I've also recorded my voice in various British accents, not just received pronunciation that you can hear me normally speak, but also things like a bit of Cockney English like that, you know, and also a very plummy accent, just like the Queen. You know, I can speak like that too, if that's what you want. So it's been an awful lot of fun. So I think maybe this is a great new direction for me to move in, because for me, it's easy. Reading a script is easy. I was having to read new scripts without having any opportunity to check the copy through before. I would just be handed the stuff to read and we'd go on air. That was the news. So reading copy is second nature to me, and also being able to edit it and give people tips on how to make the copy better. Well, that was part of my work as a journalist.
Yeah. And boy, us Americans, we love the British accent. And if you would listen to The Freaking Awesome Entrepreneur, even today, you'll realize that my intro is done by a Brit.
Absolutely.
Because I love it. It's so elegant and amazing.
Absolutely. A real touch of class. You can't beat a British accent for a touch of class.
No, you can't. You can't. Well, my goodness. There's so many of your strengths that have already come into, you know, how you've been speaking and where you've gone, and the ideas, ladies and gents, you can hear her ideation, can't you? Just like, whoa, I got this idea and I'm going to take action on it. Now, all five of your top five StrengthsFinder themes are in the thinking domain. And we just released an episode a few weeks ago that had the same thing. And I said on the last one, oh my gosh, you know, I rarely see this with all five themes being in the strategic thinking domain. And here we are. So your top five themes are input, intellection, which I think is where you get all of your wit and, you know, your brilliance there, your comedy, ideation, strategic, and learner. And so I love all of those pieces. And, you know, I think that you're going to be using those unique qualities in your voiceovers, which is going to be fantastic. I've had some people approach me for a voiceover work, and you know, I kind of felt like, oh, I should just record this, but I have a little bit of feedback. Like maybe you could try this or maybe you could try that, but just, you know, recorded and sent it back along their way. But with your broadcasting experience, number one, with your intellection and how you know things pull together and your ideation. What a brilliant way for you to say, hey, you know, I've got some feedback that we could tweak and make this even better, so that you're not simply taking a script and just reading it back, but also providing this amazing value for somebody who may not exactly know what they're looking for in a voiceover. They just know they need a great British accent to be doing it. So even though you don't have executing themes in your top five, this is always a worry for entrepreneurs. Like, well, am I not going to be able to get anything done? And you are absolutely proof that no, you just need to use the strengths you have to get things done.
I have to say, though, response to that, because my challenge, which I wrote down to you, was prioritizing well without multitasking or stifling creativity.
Yeah.
So prioritizing is always a problem. And what I should have been doing when I went off my rentabrit.com tangent, which I really enjoyed and probably was a good idea, but what I should have been doing was writing proposals, book proposals for my second book, Hotel Chemo, Learning to Laugh Through Breast Cancer and Infidelity. And I have been slower than I should have been about sending that out to publishers, to agents. Mm-hmm. And I had something in process, which has been in process too long, that I was going to finish, but then I got distracted by rentabrit.com.
Sure, sure. And ideation is classic for that. You know, very often people with high ideation sort of think, oh, do I have ADHD or what's going on? And, you know, you do have ideas like popcorn. And so and I always recommend this for anybody with ideation, even in their top 10, if you've unlocked all 34 of your strengths themes and you're looking at your profile and going, ideation's in my top 10, get an idea notebook so that you can start to get those ideas out of your head and down on paper, because when they're down on paper, you can vet them more for, are they a now idea? Are they a later idea? Or is this somebody else's idea? Is this an idea for somebody else that I should just pass on to somebody else? Because the fear for people with ideation is, if I don't act on this, I'm going to lose it.
Absolutely. Because when I was writing Hotel Chemo, I'm still finishing it off, but I did a lot of the writing when I was actually going through the cancer treatment, the chemo and the radiation. And I would go swimming and I'd have all these ideas. Oh, I've got to put this in the book. I've got to put that in the book. Mm-hmm. I forgot about this angle. I forgot about that angle. Oh, wasn't this funny? Oh, this is really absurd. Why don't I put that in? And by the time I got out of the pool, some of that would have disappeared. So I was thinking, oh, I wish I could swim with a notebook and just write stuff when things come to my mind.
Yes, yes. And yet, an interesting thing about intellection is that it needs space and time, a way to just think, and process. So do you give yourself time to just kind of sit and relax? By sit and relax, I mean just kind of sit and allow yourself alone time to think.
Yes, in a way, because I find some of my best ideas come either when, for example, I'm swimming, because your mind is in neutral, or when I'm meditating. And I know they say you shouldn't have thoughts and you should just be focusing on whatever meditation practice you have. My view is I'm not trying to think, but if something comes in, then, you know, I'll acknowledge it and get on with what I'm supposed to be doing. But I have some incredible insights and good ideas that come through when I'm meditating. And I wouldn't think that most people say that that's the reason why you're supposed to be meditating, but I find that for me, it actually works that way.
Yeah. You know, I have a meditation practice as well, and I wish I could say I meditated every single day. I'm getting certainly much more routine with that, but I learned from one of the best, Juliana Ray, who was a guest on Maximize Your Strengths when I was hosting Maximize Your Strengths. So you'll have to go back and listen to that episode, ladies and gents. I'll make sure to link it in the show notes. And she really talks about being mindful that you're going to have thoughts that come in. It's okay. Say hello and then let them flow out. I actually had a conversation with her because it's a time when my brain is at peace, right? And I'm being more watchful instead of dutiful about what's going on in my brain. So she actually told me, Alyssa, go ahead and keep a journal, keep a notebook right by your side.
I do just that. I do just that.
Write that little idea down and then just notice it and say, okay, now you can go. Right? So the meditation practice becomes more about this. She was the most brilliant thing that she told me. She said, you know, like a giant spaghetti junction, you know, where the freeways are like all interweaved and everything else. And there's cars everywhere. And it looks like a madhouse. She goes, that is your brain. She goes, now in meditation, think about just zooming out and watching all of that. So the meditation isn't about clearing the brain. It's about sort of rising above it and just going, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's interesting. And these brilliant ideas will come to you then. And the time to process, right? All of that thinking that you do all day long will allow it just to kind of, oh, I noticed that. Oh, I noticed that. Oh, that's interesting over here. Oh, I'm really busy over here. And so it gave me a lot more comfort because I felt like I wasn't doing it, quote unquote, right. And that was a real challenge. And so I didn't want to do the meditation because I was like, I just can't do it right. I'm not clearing my brain. I'm not, you know, thinking about nothing. I'm thinking about all these things.
Right. And I don't think you can think about nothing.
Yeah. Right. Especially you with all those thinking things.
Oh, like yeah.
That's just what you do. That's just how you're wired. So welcome those ideas and just say, thank you for being here. And if the idea, you know, after you've released it comes back again, go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to write that down and then go back to just noticing and watching. And I think you'll enjoy your meditation that much more.
Yeah. I mean, the way I do it now in terms of meditation is that I don't feel guilty about thoughts. Mm. I just try to relax, watch my breath, try to dissolve any blockages I feel in my body. But at the same time, if thoughts come, either I just notice them and move on to what I'm supposed to be doing, or if it's a thought that has something to do with work, with one of my creative projects mm-hmm. that I should be writing down, well, I've got a notebook next to me.
Beautiful.
And I'll jot it down and then get back to what I'm doing. And I think that that's the best way to do it. I see it as a relaxation process rather mm-hmm. than something that is going to push me off to enlightenment.
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice, but fundamentally, you know, what I need is relaxation. I see it as a relaxation practice, even though I've done some Buddhist techniques, some Taoist techniques, and, you know, way back when I was doing my degree at college, I did TM. So I've done a number of different types of meditation. But really, for me, it's about relaxing.
Yeah.
And when you've been through cancer twice, it's really critical to have a practice that you use to relax and dissipate stress. I think that's very, very important.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. There's so many different, you know, value propositions to meditation. And when we often, you know, as entrepreneurs, we get caught up in our head a lot and sometimes
oh, yes.
don't give ourselves the space to just relax. So I'm glad
yeah.
you do that. Now, you had mentioned that one of your biggest challenges is this whole prioritization thing and possibly maybe sort of sticking to the list of priorities once you have them. So
right.
why don't you let us know, how do you find your priorities? What do you create a written to-do list? Do you, you know, how do you know even, you know, what you're working on at all?
I do have a written to-do list.
Okay.
But then something might come up that just overtakes it. Maybe you're putting out a fire. You realize, oh my God, I've got to file that particular tax return and I forgot about it and it's due in a week. Mm-hmm. Well, I better get down to that first. It doesn't matter what else is on the list. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have some amazing creative idea like I did with rentabrit.com mm-hmm. with your influence mm-hmm. and that pushes out whatever else I had on my priority list. But it is important to write things down because otherwise you don't, it isn't real mm-hmm. and it's not it doesn't have a genuine priority. I think it's important to think about, well, what do I want to do? What are my goals? And then write down what you need to do. But I am not necessarily always practicing what I preach. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I find very difficult to do is I love writing and I'm not so keen on the marketing side. And so those things are very, very important. I can have a wonderful inspiration and write great blogs on my sites. I can write an article for HuffPost because I'm really inspired by something. But I don't put enough effort, I think, in attracting readers and building my reputation as the go-to person for infidelity subjects, breast cancer subjects, humor in these subjects, and now the British voiceover business that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I need to have more exposure for those things.
Sure.
And so priorities can be written down, but then they might change.
Right.
And another side of the problem I have is trying to avoid multitasking. Multitasking, as you said in previous episodes that I've heard, is a killer and it doesn't work.
Right.
And you are doing one thing and then you maybe go to the bathroom and then you have this idea, oh, I really need to finish that thing on something else. And by the time you've come back, you're no longer doing what you had set out to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing something else and you realize, oh, I didn't finish that. And it doesn't work. So that's one of the problems that I have that I still haven't quite overcome. Or, you know, you leave something half done because you want to finish something else and then you go back to something and then you're on. So you may have maybe three different things on the go and you know damn well that you've been very, very inefficient dealing with those tasks that
way. Right, because when you do multitask, when you try to multitask, your brain literally has to shift. And so it actually kills your effectiveness and your productivity. So you mentioned one thing that I want to bring up quickly, which is that you find yourself sometimes putting out fires.
Yes.
So do these fires come up frequently?
They come up super frequently, but they come up enough to prevent me from really being as effective, I think, in terms of prioritizing well.
How many of those fires could you anticipate as you're sort of maybe reflecting back on the last couple of weeks on some of the things that have come up that you're like, oh, got to do that now? Were those things you could have anticipated?
It's a mixed bag. Sometimes I could have done it and sometimes I couldn't. You know, it may be attached to issues going on with my family or mm-hmm. something happening in the house I'm living in. Something's, you know, the major issue that has to be dealt with. And I couldn't have predicted that anything would happen. But I would say it's about 50-50.
Okay.
Sometimes I should have anticipated that and got it done rather than just leaving it to the last minute.
Right.
And I mean, usually if it's as important an item as say tax returns, mm-hmm. usually I'm pretty very good on that kind of stuff, but sometimes things slip through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, deal with the fire.
And everybody loves doing that.
Oh,
right.
That's
everybody
right. Actually,
doing tax
actually I'm starting to enjoy taxes because I am so well prepped now. And I've gotten to the point where I'm so disciplined with getting my taxes prepared. My taxes were ready on December 31st of this last year. As the tax year was ending, I was we needed to, you know, have my bookkeeper finish some things up in January because of bank statements, et cetera, et cetera. But our taxes were filed before the end of February this year.
You must have a lot of executing strengths.
I have none. But, and here's, this actually might be something that's very, very valuable to you. Not where I thought the conversation was going to go today, but I think it might be really valuable is when we work in this discipline to get things done, time block, stick to those priorities, et cetera. When we create routine out of our day, what it does is it allows those things to become muscle memory so that we don't have to think about that. We can actually expand and think about other things. And the metaphor I want to use here is using your leg muscles to walk. if we had to think about flexing our quad and bending our knee and, you know, engaging our hamstring and, you know, all of those things to walk, we would never be able to actually carry on a conversation with a friend as we walk down the street. We'd be focused so hard on actually walking. So what can you do in your business that would create a process such that this is going to become muscle memory over here so that I can expand and think about, put my energy into other things? So until I made that connection, my thinking themes did not want to do any of that discipline stuff. But when I started to go, okay, if I get this stuff routine so I don't have to think about it, I don't have to be strategic about what clothes am I going to wear, when am I going to wear it, what's the weather going to be, and put all of that thought into that, I'm just going to wear the same you know, uniform every single day. That was where it started, was a uniform for me. And then I can actually expand and think about what else is on the horizon for me. And so rather than putting my fantastic strategic thinking, right, into what I'm going to wear, I can now put it into, hey, what services and products and where do I want my business to go? How can I increase impact? Right. So right. I used my thinking themes in order to get things done. And when you reframe it like that, it allows the priorities to suddenly go, oh, now I understand. And I'm more engaged. I'm more on board with this because you're engaging your strengths in order to do it. And when we engage our strengths to do any of the things that we have to do on a day-to-day basis, we begin to have more energy. It gives us energy instead of sucking energy out of us.
Right. Because as a heavy-duty thinker, I do spend a lot of time thinking about useless stuff just like that. You know, well, what am I going to make for dinner next week? Who cares? You know, what will I wear at this particular event? You know, irrelevant. So I understand what you're talking about. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, you know, our family now does all of our meal planning for the week. And in part, that's because I'm training for a bodybuilding competition, which by the time this is aired, I will have done. So we will know the results of that. But
wow.
But so I'm on a very strict meal plan with that. But here's the thing is we do all the prep on the weekend. And now I don't have to think about what I'm going to eat. So right. I can go out, I can pop, you know, my meal that's pre-prepared in the microwave. I know it's healthy. I know it's going to fuel my body and I can get back to work. And so by doing those things, you free up all of that brilliant thinking energy to do things that are actually going to push your purpose forward and push your platform forward. Now, in the same vein, marketing is the same way. That was one of the things you're like, I don't really like that part. But here's the thing is that there are people all over this world who need your message, who need some of the levity of the comedy that you infuse into these situations, who need that. And the less that you market, the fewer people get to hear that message. And it is actually your responsibility to go out and market. And if you think about it from that perspective, from the purpose-driven perspective, marketing has it still is a challenge, right? Because there's strategy to it, et cetera. And you might very well hire somebody to help you with that. Certainly, it's not my forte. And so I do have someone who helps me with that. But if you don't have the budget for it, and that's totally fine, you can begin to think, all right, if I do this, then this one person's going to hear this message. If I share this Facebook post, if I put this out on LinkedIn, if I do this, if I do that, it's going to allow me to share with somebody who really needs this message. And now marketing has a whole different spin on it.
And that's actually what I've started to do. I'm not a fan of Facebook. I'm a bit of a dinosaur with that. I don't have any of my private life on Facebook at all, but I see a lot of value in Facebook groups, mm-hmm. like your group, for instance,
yeah.
like your group, the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur
yes.
group. And there are some groups out there for BRCA sufferers. And I have a lot of things that I've written about that in the book that I haven't published yet, the one about breast cancer and infidelity, mm. hotel chemo. And a lot of issues, a lot of pretty dark and deep issues are covered in that book, but with humor, which is an unusual way of doing it. And actually, there aren't too many books I've seen out there about having to deal with both breast cancer and infidelity at the same time.
Right.
It's quite a double whammy, to say the least.
Right.
But I found by looking at these groups that I belong to, there's some on for cancer caregivers, for breast cancer survivors, and for people, as I said, going through problems when they find out that they have the BRCA gene. Mm-hmm. There are so many issues connected with that, and controversial ones too. There are people on both sides of the mastectomy debate, for instance, which I cover in detail. There are also a lot of groups on infidelity, and dealing with cheating spouses. And I've actually expanded my reach on that, not just looking at, my book was called Adulterer's Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not, looking at it from the perspective of a woman with a cheating husband. But actually I've broadened what I do to also cover how is it for men with cheating spouses, because what I say has the same impact for both. The best revenge is to get past the need for it. Whether you are male, female, gay, or straight, it doesn't matter. That is the best way to get through it, to use it as a catalyst to learn how to become complete on your own with or without a partner.
Yes.
That's really the lesson from that. And the lesson from cancer is, you know, well, life is short. What do I want to do with the rest of it? And information is power. That's another part of what I'm writing about in my book, because people who just suddenly get diagnosed with breast cancer, it's an incredible, terrifying bombshell. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what to expect, you're not only dealing with whatever you have to do to combat the disease, but you've also got all this mental anguish about, gosh, am I going to die? What's going to happen? I remember, for example, when I was going through radiation, this would have been for the second time. I had breast cancer in 2007 and then again in 2014. So I'm about to go in for radiation. And a good friend of mine, poor guy, had gone through throat cancer treatment, told me how, oh, radiation was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was so incredibly painful that I just felt like I wanted to die. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. Now, had I not had radiation for breast cancer before that, I would have been incredibly scared. It was a terrifying thing to say to me. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's absolutely horrible to go through radiation for throat cancer, because it's a very sensitive area of the body and it affects swallowing, talking, everything. Whereas breast cancer radiation, it's not pleasant, but it's much more, it's a much easier ride. And so you really need to know what you're going to go through. And that's what I was aiming to do and what I'm aiming to do with this second book that I'm writing, and making fun of some of those, some of the side effects from chemo, for instance. I have a lot of fun with, although at the time I didn't have a lot of fun with it, but I talk about losing your hair and wigs and wig malfunctions and even wig malfunctions during sex, for instance, all kinds of weird stuff that I found out about. And so I put all of that in the book so that it gives people a very full picture of what to expect. And it makes them laugh, but it doesn't trivialize what they're going through.
Right. And, you know, it's so here's what I would suggest with regards to marketing is put it up where you can see it, whether that's on a wall near your computer, et cetera. So when the priorities come up, which are writing proposals and marketing, things that you don't naturally love to do, that you have that consistent reminder as to why you're doing it, because somebody out there needs to hear that story. So that's tip number one, or assignment number one, rather, is to get that purpose. And maybe it's a statement from somebody that's told you how much your story and how much your book has meant to them. Or maybe it's just your mission statement. This is my mission. But get that in front of you so that when you have tasks that are marketing or not so fun, that you're able to stick to your commitment there. And then secondarily, when it comes to your priorities and writing out those priorities, you've chosen the priorities for a reason.
Right.
So it's okay to get a great idea and then block out maybe you block out 3 hours in your, or 5 hours, or a whole day for crying out loud. That's totally fine too. If you have time that you can do that. Like, this is my idea implementation day. I love Wednesdays because it's my idea implementation day. I stick to a very good routine and I get all those priorities done all the other days. But Wednesday is my day that I just do whatever, you know, idea happens to come up. And so you feed your ideation that way, but you also maintain your commitments to yourself, because when you push off those priorities then can become fires in a week.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So learning how to, one of my favorite affirmations for myself is, I'm more committed to my goals than my feelings. I'm a big feeler. Like, I have big feelings. And so I'm feeling down. You know, it's easy for me to be like, oh, I don't really want to do that right now. And so for me, it's not so much the ideas that just, like, you know, derail me. It's, I don't really feel like doing that right now. And so maybe your affirmation is, I am more committed to my goals than a whimsical idea.
Right.
Right. And those ideas, yeah, while they might be wonderful, and I'm so glad you took action on Rent-A-Brit, and you were able to get that done very, very quickly, which is fantastic. But, you know, you could have set aside another time for that as well, and now stuck to your commitments. So getting your mission statement or your why in front of you for the times when marketing isn't so fun, and then allowing yourself time to take care of your ideas on another time when you can maintain your priority list. I'm more committed to my goals than fresh ideas. And then give yourself a little bit of space in your calendar where you can actually implement. And if you're still excited about that idea in a week, great, go do it. But chances are that that idea will come and go and you're like, oh, you know, that is a good idea. I'm going to write it down, but that's a later idea. And that will help you to not lose those great ideas, but also stick to your commitments.
Right. Because when you have too many ideas, you're spreading yourself too thin.
You got it.
And you do a little bit on everything and not much.
You got it.
Is enough to go anywhere.
You got it. So rentabrit.com, people can find you there. Where else can they find you, CJ?
My main website, the first one that I had, was adultererswife.com. And that is adulterers as in the wife of an adulterer, not a wife who is adulterous. adultererswife.com. And if you can't spell that or misspell that as many people seem to, you can also find me if you Google CJ Grace.
Excellent.
And I will come up, either my HuffPost articles would come up that you can find me from that, or my website, Adulterer's Wife, would come up on that. I have to say apologies to a lady who has the same name as me, CJ Grace, who is a wedding videographer. She sadly shares the same name as somebody who writes about infidelity. You know, life's ironies, what can I say?
Yeah.
But if you Google my name, CJ Grace, you'll be able to find everything about my hotel chemo writing and my adulterer's wife, how to thrive whether you stay or not, any writing to do with that. And also I have an infidelity question and answer advice column on my website in association with divorceforce.com.
And we will have the link to your website in the description. So if you're listening on your iPhone right now, you can just click right on that hyperlink. We'll also have it in the show notes so you won't have to misspell it, ladies and gents. So that's wonderful. And they can find that free download on your website, right?
Oh, there is a free download. I should mention that. What it is there's a free mini ebook, Overcoming Adultery, Tools to Tame the Roller Coaster of Negative Emotion. And it describes how to turn adversity into opportunity with techniques to tackle toxic emotions and learn how to live in the present rather than churning over the past or worrying about the future. And one of the techniques in there that I describe is about how to use chocolate as an exercise for mindfulness. It's a practice that they actually have used in schools in Britain. So if it works for school kids, it'll work for you. And I have to say, it's a practice I like because I am a recovering chocoholic.
Very good. Well, CJ, thank you so much for taking time. You are brilliant. You are freaking awesome. And I cannot wait to see where Rent-A-Brit will go for you. And can't wait to follow up and find out how you have stuck to your priorities and used your strengths to do even the things that maybe aren't so fun for you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
And thank you so much. It's been absolutely terrific. I really enjoyed chatting to you today.